Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort. And pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals. And a Disney-featured stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, we're going to wrap up our series of post-Diz Dads Club convention coverage. I've got three dads who were traveling solo this time around. So we welcome back to the podcast, Adam Dale.
Good evening, everyone.
Joe Masters.
Howdy, y'all.
And Terry Hawkins.
Hey, guys, if you've seen my liver, please send it back to me.
It's hiding. It's cowering somewhere in fear. Yeah.
Yeah. On that, Aaron, you know, something we really observed this year, and I commented a few times on the trip, but I think now is a good time to comment on it now, too, is the dynamic of the group has changed, you know, quite a bit. You know, back at DDC1, we had the different meetups for Dole Whips. We had the meetup at Whispering Canyon. We had some scheduled meets for different rides and that. So, you know, we're all like-minded individuals, but we sort of got together for doing the attractions. We're now getting together. The attractions aren't the Disney attractions. The attractions are us.
Sure. We're there to see each other more than we are to see the parks.
Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, the barbecue last year and this year have really contributed to that. And it's an atmosphere which is, you know, as I said, much more relaxed, and we can sit there and visit and actually get to know everybody. The issue with that is it can be a little bit intimidating for some of those that, you know, this might be their first time coming to the convention.
Sure.
As kind of, you know, but we want to encourage everybody to do that because it's a fantastic group of people, and nobody should feel intimidated, you know, that some of us have been getting together for, you know, 5-6 years, or, you know, five or six different conventions. There's only a handful that have made all six, but several of us have made 4 or 5.
Right.
And, you know, we're a welcoming bunch, I hope. David might be able to speak better.
Sure.
Absolutely. No, definitely a welcoming bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the one thing I always try to remind people is that it was a first time for all of us at some point, too. You know, it was we all had a first encounter with the group, and it's a welcoming group. And the nice thing about how large the group has gotten is that it's almost impossible to come into that group and not find somebody else who's part of that group that you've got something, even something other than the parks, you know, something other than being a Disney fan that you've got in common with, right. Just because it's such a broad, you know, swath of people who do different things in their non-Disney focused lives.
Yeah. I think it's easy to call out that there's going to be a variety of different travelers that may show up to one of these. You're going to have people who maybe only get one or two trips a year, and who have somehow elected to come this particular weekend because of the convention to meet some guys, but it's also an opportunity, one of their rare opportunities to come to the parks, and they're going to do some rides and shows and go do their own thing and meet up when they can. Right. And then, like Terry said, there's us seasonal guys who've been to every one or most of them, and also get to come multiple times with our families, who aren't so much focused on those rides and attractions as we are hanging out and get to catch up with everybody else. I know there's some other things we're going to talk about here momentarily about some brunches and things like that. My personal perspective is to try and meet up with as many of the people that come as possible to let them know I'm glad they came, get to know their kids, and just show some, you know, some welcomeness and some camaraderie to them, to say, you know, I don't know if you made the decision to come back next year, but you're more than welcome. And, we hope to see you.
Sure. No, I think that's a great, you know, a great point to make and a great perspective. So, before we get away from the barbecue, from the cookout, whatever we want to call it, is there anything else that, you know, stood out about that experience that, you know, bears mentioning before we move on? I know that a lot of people contributed, a lot of people, you know, helped make it what it is. But, you know, I don't want to push us past it if there's still things to be said.
That brisket is the best brisket I've ever had, Aaron. Yep. And you treated me to, when I visited you there in Kansas City, you treated me to some very good barbecue. Adam's, you got to have Adam's brisket. It's even better than Carl's succulent sausage.
I would certainly hope that I beat Carl's succulent sausage.
So you'd rather have Adam's butt, huh?
To change, steer the conversation a different way. The one thing that I did like about the room we were in, because it the two bedroom units, you walk in, you have the main room, which has a kitchen, TV, couch, etc. Then you have a bedroom on each side. So that evening, when everyone did gather back, for the most part, we were in that center room. So a natural buffer between our neighbors anyway, so we weren't too loud for them. But even the way the layout was, I'm not sure if we even had any neighbors sharing a wall. So it actually worked out well that, you know, we weren't, not that we were extremely loud, but we weren't as concerned because we were just so separated from everyone. So we really weren't negatively impacting anyone, any of our neighbors or anything. So I thought that just worked out fantastic.
Sure. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, and, you know, that's one of those things. It's the hardest part is dealing with the stuff that you don't really have control over. And room assignments is one of the things that there's only so much you can do to control.
So I would say, how many people were back in the room? 20?
At least. I want to say more than that.
So, and it worked. So, yeah.
I mean, to the point where some people were spilling over into the bathroom and in the tub.
I said we were moving on from that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, move on.
It was cold.
So, Aaron, I would here change the conversation completely. So we talked about, you know, doing the rides and stuff. One of the things I want to make sure we talk about is we did have a gathering in Magic Kingdom for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train ride.
And that's a great segue because that's the next morning.
Okay. Yeah,
so everyone had fast passes. They somewhat overlapped and we got together about noontime, which was a time when we could all do it. And we wound up filling all but the last row of the train.
Very cool.
So
Seven Dwarfs and on Big Thunder.
No, Big Thunder had a few more rows. There were a few more.
Not many.
There were a couple because we were in the first row of us, and there still was a car or two in front of us. So there were a few more, but it was just a lot of fun being, you know, doing it all together and just having everyone cheering and just having a good time.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yes, we had a good time there. We actually had our only Dole Whip meetup that morning. And we got to try the new pineapple upside down cake, which we found quite delicious after we touched it up a bit.
Needed just a little help.
That is so good. It just needed a little extra water.
Yes, it was a little dry.
I see.
Yeah. Tim's kids and the moms were there with us, and you know, the conversation was we were adding water.
Yes. Yes. It was an adult only water.
Yes.
All right. Well, so that sounds good. And you know, that's, as the group gets bigger, it's harder and harder, I think, sometimes to manage the attraction meetup kinds of things. So I'm glad that worked out at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in particular, because that's not an easy one to do.
We got a good photo and a good video of that, everybody there. And really, that was kind of the only big ride meetup that we ended up pulling off. We had several others that had, you know, five or six at a time, but that was the biggest.
Yeah.
And then we also had a nice photo op while we were waiting for the Dole Whip guys to come, the rest of us outside of Thunder Mountain, a photo pass person was just walking by. We're like, hey, grab a picture. So we have a good picture of Terrence with something on his head. I'm not quite sure what, but.
I think it was Pascal. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's Pascal.
Cool. And you know, how much time did you all end up spending in the Magic Kingdom? I mean, not to be stereotypical, but you know, this was a group that often found itself stumbling from lounge to lounge, and you don't find many of those in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, you can find them in the Magic Kingdom.
You have to create them.
You might have to create them, but you can find them. I can't remember too much about Saturday. I know we did the Seven Dwarf Mine Train. We did Big Thunder. I know that Adam and I got sucked into Trader Sam's about 3 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Saturday was Ohana, so that's what ended the Magic Kingdom day.
Makes sense. All right, so... let's see, we've got Magic Kingdom, we've got Epcot. We'll get to Animal Kingdom in a second, because I know I think you all spent some time in Animal Kingdom, but, you know, Hollywood Studios is in such a weird place right now, because there's some stuff there that's always a favorite among dads, because the Star Wars stuff is still there, but there's tons of construction, and, you know, even movement is kind of restricted by all that construction. Did you all end up spending much time in Hollywood Studios at all?
I Terry spent no time.
I was going to say, Terry and I think we're there the longest of the bunch, save a couple others that kind of came and went. And we didn't set foot in Hollywood Studios.
Wow. So no hanging out in the Tune-In Lounge, Brown Derby Lounge.
Some dads did.
David, y'all made it, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, Tony and my daughter, we wound up touring Hollywood Studios. We had three fast passes with Tower of Terror. What were the other ones? The Shoot 'Em Ride. I can't think of it. Toy Story Mania. Man. Just, and Tony got there early, and he did the single rider line for Rock and Roller Coaster. And I can't remember whatever the third ride was. We did that one too. So. Yeah, we had a good time there. Really didn't hit too many of the bars, I think, just because we knew we were going to head back to the room afterwards. And
sure.
There was plenty to partake of there.
All right. So let's then talk about the last of the parks. You know, Animal Kingdom, I mean, look, Terry and I have spent plenty of time in Animal Kingdom when we've been at Walt Disney World together. But I know a lot of the guys in the past have referred to Animal Kingdom as a half-day park. Seems to me that that's just not the case anymore.
It never was the case. But no, I Animal Kingdom, because of Pandora and the Flight of Passage, wound up, I don't think there was ever like a big group meet for it, but there were dads in Pandora and the rest of Animal Kingdom just about every day we were there. So it kind of became this kind of one-off thing. Like Adam was saying, some of the guys hit it first thing in the morning to catch Flight of Passage. Adam and I did it later on in the trip, late at night, just right before closing. You know, you got in line before closing.
Right.
And here's a tip. I've done the first in the morning thing. I did that last summer with my girls. We did the late night ride on Tuesday, Adam and I, where we got on, like I say, we got in line, the regular line, 5 minutes before the park closed. They don't kick you out. That's the way to do it. And that is all the argument you need right there for getting rid of fast passes entirely, because it was a 3 hour late wait when Adam and I got in line. Throughout the day, the ride length was 3 to 4 hour wait. We were off that ride in an hour 45, Adam.
Yes.
Okay, but here's the problem.
Once the fast pass line shut down, because they stop taking people when the park closes.
Right.
The rest of the line, I'm not saying it moves quickly, but it moves.
Well, but see, here's the thing, Terry. When they post that it's a 3 or 4 hour wait, almost every time, they're lying.
Well, that was touring plans and other of the third party sites, yeah, saying it was a 3 hour wait. Not the Disney's line, Disney had it posted at almost 3:45.
Yeah. The line went to Harambe.
Oh, I understand.
The regular line throughout the day, by early in the morning, it went out to Harambe. Uh-huh. And it stayed like that the entire day until at night. And it moved so much better.
Well, I've heard the argument. I'm still not convinced, but maybe we'll have to do another. Maybe we'll need to do a show about crowd flow, and you can make your argument.
Sounds good.
So one thing at Animal Kingdom that I did for the very first time was Rafiki's Planet Watch. John Peters is one of the conductors on the train. He was going to be working that day, but at the last minute he wasn't working, so Tony and I met up with him, grabbed a beer, and got in line. And fun fact, that train ride is the only ride at Disney where you are allowed to bring a drink on board.
Interesting. Now, they used to let you bring one on board with you on the Grand Fiesta Tour. Did they finally stop that?
Yes, because yeah. We asked.
We asked, and we had
as soon
to
as we stepped well, out now, of see, Wakanda,
asking
we
was your mistake.
But that was fun, just going back there and seeing. And John, you know, showed us around, you know, no backstage area, but just pointed out some stuff to us. That was a lot of fun.
Sure.
And then we came back and went to, I think, the Dawa Bar.
Always a good choice. And I think that it's official now, Terry. Don't we have to you know, what, throw the last shovel full of dirt on the Sunrise cocktail menu? It sounds like it's completely gone.
You know what? They didn't put the menu out because it was freezing literally that morning, but they had bacon behind the counter and they right. made
well, so I'd heard that they had one of the Bloody Marys, but they didn't have like the whole slate of options.
Well, they didn't have the breakfast menu. When I asked about him, he just looked at me and said, "Not today, but would you like bacon?" And I said, "Of course I want bacon in my Bloody Mary." And we parted amicably with that.
All right, that sounds good.
I still hold out hope they'll keep the breakfast menu.
Yeah, you know, it just seems like such a simple thing, and I can't imagine it costs them a lot of money to keep that thing going.
It's more when Tusker House remembers to put the ingredients out to the bar. Yeah,
maybe that's the problem. I don't know.
Yeah, so here's something that's not really DDC related, but I heard today that at the Dolphin Hotel that the lobby redesign is done, and one of the little lounges in there is called the Finn.
Okay.
They're doing a similar Bloody Mary type brunch on Sundays from 10 to 2, and they've got quite the menu over there. So
very nice.
definitely something I want to add to the touring for next year is get a chance to go by there and check out one or two of those, because they're really, really tasty looking. They've got some serious seafood and beef hanging off those glasses.
Well, while we're on the subject of boozy brunches, maybe we need to turn things over a little bit to Terry and Adam.
Yep.
Yes, we did let Terry get his proper Bloody Mary on Sunday morning. I kind of feel bad because it had been my idea to originally have breakfast at Boma on Sunday morning instead of trying to cram into Kona, since they scrapped their traditional menu there. And then I had discovered the California Grill's Sunday only brunch back in October. And lo and behold, there was a reservation open, and I made a reservation and said, anybody want to join me? And Terry immediately jumped on that, and no one else took me up on it. So Terry and I went to have brunch at California Grill. And Terry, we got there, around 10 and left at about 2?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, they said brunch. You occupied the entirety of the time period that is socially acceptably called brunch.
And for those of you, it's a little more pricey than most of your traditional breakfast or brunch options around the park. But it's a very leisure, not rushed, let you take your time, eat and enjoy yourself. They have a buffet option. And then they have about 7 entrees that they prepare in the kitchen at California Grill, and they will not limit you to just one of those. And Terry and I had a sampling of most of the things on the menu.
So what's your overall take? What's your sense?
It's definitely worth, it's about $80 a head. And you definitely get your money's worth. If you've ever eaten at California Grill, you know you're not going to get out of there for less than $80 a head anyway, sure. Oftentimes more. To have a full brunch with kitchen-prepared entrees plus charcuterie selections, sushi selections, pastries that are made there, not, you know, your traditional heated-up pastries, but breads and pastries that are made there, along with bottomless mimosas, that's not a bad deal. They also have a add-on for a Bloody Mary bar, which you can customize your Bloody Mary. Basically, they have this huge bar of shrimp the size of your fist, some candied bacons, 3 or 4 different mixes, flavored vodkas that you can use for your Bloody Mary, along with a whole slew of pickled vegetables and other meats that you can garnish your Bloody Mary with.
Sounds like good stuff. Terry, what did you think of their Bloody Mary skill?
I thought it was really, really good. the Bloody Marys. By that point, I was trying to dry myself out a little bit. but the Bloody Mary was excellent. The entire meal. If people are balking at the $80 price, just remember it's breakfast and lunch. You know, really, like we were there for almost 4 hours. You know, yeah. They don't kick you out. They don't rush you. You don't have that experience anywhere else. It to me was the perfect way to calm down after the crowds and the busy schedule we had of bar hopping. It was one of the most enjoyable experiences I've had, and I've eaten at Victoria and Albert's. It's not Victoria and Albert's level, but it is, I'd say, the second best meal I've had on property, and that says quite a bit.
Yeah, it does.
It's well worth the money. I thought it was well worth the money without even getting to the entrees, just the appetizer buffet right. if you will.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is that it sounds like they do a really nice job there of blending sort of the best of both worlds. You know, they do the cook-to-order entree, because the downfall of a lot of those kinds of brunches is that those delicate entree items, they don't hold up well, you know, to be stuck on a buffet. So, you know, they do those to order, and then you've got the variety that you get from a buffet from the other side. So you get the best of both of those worlds. And that sounds really fantastic. I don't know if there's any place else on property doing that kind of thing right now.
No, there isn't. And, you know, our server there, our cast member, she took great pains to make sure that we were ready for the next course. You know, we ordered several items off the menu.
Right. You ordered the left side.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the center.
Yeah. And a bit of the right. But she didn't bring everything out at once. You know, she'd come back, well, I'll bring you this first. And then, you know, wait a bit. And then she'd come back again, no pressure at all. And are you ready for this part? Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll bring that. So phenomenal. Everything's warm. Everything's freshly cooked. Then nothing's sitting on the table, cooling off as you're waiting to sample it. And that view, I mean, to sit there and just look out over Magic Kingdom and the lagoon and that is just incredibly relaxing experience. Highly recommend it.
And they ended our meal with that nice dessert platter that they bring out.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Sounds cool. And now I'm curious, do they give you the same sort of, you know, bonus access to their viewing deck for fireworks that night?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, they greatly encourage you to come back. And they remind you when you get there, and they remind you when you leave. That you know, you're welcome to come back up that evening.
That's great.
Oh, and the live music. They have a small three-piece jazz band playing jazz renditions of all the theme songs from Disney movies.
Excellent.
Yeah, like I say, just total relaxation is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they hit every detail, you know, just right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now, do Joe or David, either of you have sort of, you know, one-off experiences that you got to wander off and check out, you know, on your own without the rest of the big core Diz Dads group?
David, I'll let you go first.
A couple of times. As I said, my older daughter lives down there, so we actually got to spend some time together. So that was fun. Sure. She was with the group. She was with us like the day we rode Seven Dwarfs and all. Tony and I, we had a good time. We went up to Epcot. You know, we went up to the DVC lounge, showed them that. Actually, one night we went over to the Top of the World Lounge.
At Bay Lake. Yeah.
So. Because I took him up there, and that was fun to watch the fireworks on the balcony. It was just the one thing that was just really weird about this trip. It was so bloody cold at night that at the beginning of the trip, I really was not interested in doing any of the fireworks, any of that stuff.
Sure.
You know, it got dark, and it's like, you know, I'm good for going back to the room or doing something, you know.
Yeah.
You know, hitting Trader Sam's or just hitting one of the, you know, doing something along those lines.
Yeah, I've had trips where, you know, we had persistent late rain, and it was a similar thing where it would get really frustrating because, you know, I don't know about you, but my family and me in particular are huge fans of a great fireworks show. And there have been trips where we just kind of got to the point where we're just, as much as we love them, it ain't happening.
So we did use Adam's tip. Leaving Top of the World, called a lift, and it was actually in front of the main building at Contemporary, so it took him a minute to get there, And 15 minutes later, it was just the ride, no traffic, back to Saratoga Springs. So it was great.
Awesome. How about you, Joe? Where did you wander off on your own?
I kind of hung out with most of the groups. Like I said earlier in the podcast, you know, I try to make friends and stay with everybody else that showed up and just kind of hang out and show face, if you will. While Adam and Terry were over doing their brunch, I went with the usual group for breakfast. So again, we had talked about Animal Kingdom Lodge being the party resort, if you will, for the DDC this year. What we typically do during these D's Dads conventions is on Sunday, the last day during Marathon Day, we usually have breakfast over at Kona Cafe. And for those that have been around Magic Kingdom or around Disney World on Marathon weekend, know that the traffic is just unruly. The time it takes from a bus perspective to get to that Seven Seas Lagoon monorail loop area can be upwards of 2 hours if you're not prepared.
Right, because the killer is that the usual shortcut to get there from any other resort is to take transportation to the Magic Kingdom and then boat back across or monorail across, but you can't do that during Marathon weekend. It's just too crazy.
Right. So we made a change this year with everybody staying over, or a good group of the people staying over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. We decided that instead of doing Kona Cafe for breakfast on Sunday morning, we would try Boma. And Boma was quite just as fulfilling to me. We know that Kona Cafe had removed the Big Kahuna off the menu. So right, good for those people who still like them. Yeah, good for those people who still like the Tonga toast and the pressed pots. But Kona Cafe also does pressed pots.
Oh, that's right.
One of the highlights, I'll say, of breakfast, we had Tim and his family and the moms and then Andrew Costa and Randall and Jody and all the group together. When Scott and I went up to the counter to go get our breakfast, we noticed the ladies behind the sneeze glass, if you will, prepping zebra domes for the evening. So, you know, like little kids pressed up against a glass, we were making googly eyes at the zebra domes and things like that. So after we got our plates, we kindly asked our server if she could go snatch a few and bring us some. So that was a highlight for me because I had never had zebra domes. I had always heard about them.
Oh, I didn't realize that you were a zebra virgin.
I was a zebra virgin, yes. So she brought, I think, 5 or 6 out on a plate and very, very tasty dessert. It's rather somewhat rich.
Yes.
But still absolutely worth it. So now I get what the stick is and what the hype is about the zebra domes. Definitely one of those things, if you're ever over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, you got to be sure and ask for.
Definitely. And the bonus is that they do sell them also on the shelf at the Mara.
They sell them on the shelf at the gift shop in Kidani Village.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're in a hurry and you need to grab some to go, that's where you can get them.
Perfect. But other than that, yeah, like I said, I personally I hung out with who I could when I could, got to shake some hands and meet up with some people, made sure that I was available to let people know I was glad they came. So I missed out on brunch with Adam and Terry, but I'm sure I'll get it in next year. We'll probably do that again.
Well, now I'd love to hear a little bit more about breakfast at Boma, because I'm a huge fan of Boma in general, but we tend to go there for dinner. So talk to me about the breakfast there at Boma, because it's a little different experience. I mean, at Kona, you're ordering off a menu. I assume that they've, you know, it's a buffet breakfast there at Boma as it is a buffet, you know, during the dinner hour.
It is. And it's a fair amount of servings of options available across the bar. It goes from one end of the restaurant and kind of wraps around all the way across the room. So you've got plenty of your oats and typical breakfast, your eggs and type things like that. There was some, I don't want to call them quiches, but some other side dishes similar like that. If you're
right, they're like frittata type things, egg baked things.
And they had the sliced meat at the one end, I think turkey and something else.
Yeah. And then there was, bagels and donuts. And I mean, there's a good variety. The Mickey waffles.
It's the largest breakfast buffet.
Yeah. And it sounds like they still maintain, you know, one of the hard things I think sometimes with the breakfast buffet is they run out of ideas for dishes, right? And, you know, you end up with there only being so many options, but it sounds like they got a little creative there and they had some good variety.
They did. And, you know, everybody went back for seconds, I think, because there was just so many different things to try and eat off the buffet.
Sure.
It was a really good breakfast, and I'm glad, you know, we all chose to go there for that breakfast meal.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. All right. And so let's kind of start, you know, wrapping some things up and doing some concluding here. So I always ask a couple of questions of people near the end of a trip report, and they're pretty much the same questions, and we'll do them in kind of roundtable format here because, you know.
Aaron, I wanted to throw one thing out before we
sure,
broke.
Sure, sure, please.
Because it's new, Terry and Jeff and I went, and a few others had done it earlier, we went and spent several hours at the Edison. And Terry I believe that the Edison will become another Disted hangout, much like Trader Sam's has become. Lots of entertainment, live entertainment that was really unique and different. They also have this thing called bacon on a hanger or hanger bacon.
And is some of the best bacon I've ever had.
Crispy, quarter-inch thick bacon hanging on a clothesline that was blowtorch cooked.
Interesting.
It was good. It was very good. It's one of their appetizers there, and it is very tasty. But yes, the live entertainment starts at about 9 o'clock at night, and we were informed that there would be a dress code, though it didn't seem they were enforcing it just yet.
Okay.
And that it would be, you know, snazzy dress code, as we were told, and that I think it really will come to life. It wasn't very busy that night. It was a Sunday night that we were there, but I really think that that's going to become a nice hangout, a nice place to go unwind. There's bars in each corner of the restaurant. Again, they have a stage, they have a house band that performs. What would you call that style, Terry? It's
modern songs sung in a 20s and 30s swing style.
Okay, I think that's often referred to as Americana.
Okay, yeah, I enjoyed it enough. I've picked up several of the albums. It's a great hangout place, and the band's not the only act they have. They had a juggler that night, but I think, Adam, you noticed that they have a fire breather, I think, some nights, and
yes,
a fire eater. They've got a clean burlesque show, et cetera, on different nights of the week. So it's a really fun place, and when it gets busy and they start enforcing the snazzy code on the busy nights, it is going to be a real fun place to be.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. And explain to people a little bit where it is, because I think it's in an interesting location.
You know where the Planet Hollywood Planetarium restaurant is?
Right, right.
It's directly behind that. If you're coming from the parking lot, or it's directly in front of it if you're out already in Disney Springs. So it's kind of
it's completely at the other.
Yes, it's waterside. So it's not completely at the other end. It's almost towards the middle, kind of where the old Pleasure Island section would have started.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And on the one hand, it's tucked out of the way a little bit, but on the other hand, it sounds like it's pretty readily accessible as well.
And there'll be two other restaurants that are opening there that have what they're calling prohibition tunnels that'll be running in between them and the the Edison. So you can kind of go from the pizza Enzo and – is it Enzo and Inez?
Maria and Enzo's or something like that?
Mario and Enzo's.
Mario and Enzo's, and I don't remember what the other restaurant was called, but those are all interconnected underneath going into the basement level of the Edison.
Very nice. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes. Very neat.
Yeah, because there's that walkway bridge right there as you cross over again, what used to be Pleasure Island side and towards Planet Hollywood. There's that bridge right there. And if you've crossed over that bridge, you've gone too far, because you can see both Mario Ninzo's right there on the right hand side. And if you look on the left side, it talks about that other entrance down below the bridge.
Okay.
Interesting. So anyway, I didn't want us to get off of this without mentioning that.
Yeah, Several
dads had asked us about it, and we had a wonderful experience there. And I think that it definitely will be a hangout and meetup at future conventions and get-togethers.
All right. Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Is there anything else that anybody wants to add? Because I know there was a lot going on, and so I'm sure that there are things that I've missed asking about, or that I didn't even realize I missed.
Well, I can roll tell tide. You that roll tide. I can tell you, I can tell you that even if my team's not in it, I think that that was one of the most fun get-togethers that I had. Even though halfway through I thought my team was losing, we had a football party back in the villa at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and that was a lot of fun. And I think, and we had people from all over, different teams and whatever, watching and hanging out with us, and that was a lot of fun and something different that I had not done with other guys, especially other guys that are fans of other conferences or fans of that Canadian Football League. And we had a good time, and it was a lot of fun. It was enjoyable. It was different. They've put nice big TVs in those new updated villas. I think we had a 65-inch flat screen hanging in the villa, which was better than going to one of the bars and watching the game.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah. So Jeff, Tony, Adam, CJ, Jay, and myself were able to hang out, and the five of us watched Adam pace. It was a really great time.
But we started doing better after Terry went and put on the shirt. So,
yeah.
Okay. Glad you mentioned that the football national championship party, it was another sort of impromptu event that popped up, and sounds like, just another opportunity for the guys to hang out together and have fun.
And definitely we're going to, cause there's at least three of the guys that are on this phone call will probably still be there next year. We'll probably do it again.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Okay. So, go ahead.
One other very important fact. I hit the Kona breakfast with, the Beloines, Randall, Jody, and, my memory's fading. Somebody else. And we pressured our server on the Big Kahuna, and her indication was they've had so much pressure to bring it back that she expects it to make a reappearance in the spring.
Yeah. I think that it's one of those things it never ceases to amaze me that Disney gets surprised by the guest pushback when favorite things disappear from menus. You'd think they'd have figured it out by now. Look, it's one thing when you change the side dish that's with the steak at a fine dining restaurant, because you kind of expect that. But I don't know. I mean, Kona is not a diner, but it kind of almost feels like one. You know what I mean? And if you take the favorite item off the diner menu, people don't come to your diner anymore. That's simple.
Yeah. You got a signature dish that you choose to remove from being signature.
Yeah. And without any real reason to do it, unless they actually thought that, people weren't ordering it anymore, but their own data would have told them different.
Right.
So, all right. So go ahead and do our wrap-up questions. The first of the wrap-up questions is, every trip to me has its signature moment. When you go, often people ask, well, why do you keep going back? You keep going back because there's always something that stands out about a particular trip that, you can years later remember, that's the thing that was unique about that trip. So for each of you, you know, what's that thing that when we're doing the planning for DDC 10, the thing that you're going to remember that's going to stick in your mind about your DDC 6 trip? And let's see, I'm going to put Terry on the spot first.
Oh God, don't put me on the spot first. What's the one thing that, you know what? Hanging with the guys. Really, that was just the best time. Hanging with Adam and Jeff and Joe and Randall and Jody, everybody, you know. It almost seems like there was somebody to look after me the entire time, almost like somebody, some people got together and organized that. But that's what's going to stick out to me.
We shared ownership of Terry.
Yeah.
Shared custody.
Yep.
All right. So Adam, what about you? Is there a signature moment that you're going to be able to look back on and say, you know, this is the thing that stands out about my DDC 6 trip?
I will say, as long as I am involved with trying to help do anything with this, I will try my very best to keep the picnic alive. That to me has become, it's the family picnic, and that's what it is. It's the family, the brotherhood of the disc dads getting together. Like Terry said, it's the guys getting together, getting to hang out, but it's in that, just like we were sitting in our own backyard, chilling with one another for a summertime picnic, even though it was 50 degrees. it won't always be that way. It just happened to be that way this year. And that to me was the highlight of my trip, is getting to hang out with everybody and spend time with each other and just kick back. And everybody just kind of came and went. I know Joe said we had about 20 there for the photo, but I think it was 26 or 27 dads that kind of came on either side of that total. So yeah. we had a huge get together.
Sounds like it. All right. And, you know, David, you're the new guy in town, so to speak, of the Diz Dads Club conventions. What's going to be that thing that sticks out in your head about that?
I'll just say it's been, you know, meeting the guys. I mean, even pulling up the first time, I mean, you know, me trying to explain to my friends back home. Yeah. I'm going to Disney. I'm rooming with four guys I met on the internet. you know, how do you explain some of this stuff? But it was just great. You know, Joe and Adam, that first day, meeting straight, you know, right away, we're unloading the cars and, you know, starting to get the room set up. And just then over time, continuing to meet people, trying to figure out who the different people were. I think it's Bob and Tim. I had to keep asking, wait, which one is which? You know, just going through and trying to figure out who, you know, just getting together with people as the whole weekend went along.
Sure. All right. And Joe, what's the moment for you?
You know, kind of a summary of all of what these guys said. First of all, you know, when we did DDC 1, I don't know that anybody had it in their mind that we would go 5-6 years later continuously doing this over and over again. I don't think we had the idea that it was going to turn into what it did. I think Terry and Adam both, you know, sum it up best, is that this is not just a friendship anymore. This isn't just guys you met on the internet anymore. We're family, right?
Yeah.
We keep up with each other all year long. We see each other's posts. We watch each other's kids as they do great achievements, because we all share what our family does. You know, and then when we show up that first day and you see them, then you haven't seen them all year long. The first thing everybody wants to do is hand out hugs, right? Because we're brothers. It's a family atmosphere and just a great time. And I'll say the thing that I probably remember most about this trip, and a hell of a guy. I'm glad he's part of the crew now. I'm glad he took the time to come on this trip. I'm going to introduce him as Sir Mix-a-Lot, the Mixmaster, our roommate, our buddy, David Gale. So glad he was able to come. Such a cool addition to the room. DDC's convention is all about, you know, just hanging out with the guys. And that's exactly what we did this trip. It spent more quality time, getting to know each other better and having a great time, telling great stories. And as always, you know, between Adam and I and several others, you know, we try and share what we can. We always try to keep a camera going because we know there's a lot of guys who just can't come or just couldn't come this year.
Sure.
So for me, it's always the convention in general, right? Just being there with everybody.
All right. And so then we do our final wrap-up question, which is, you're getting the opportunity to give a little bit of advice to somebody else who is maybe thinking about it, is unsure, should they, shouldn't they, how can they make this work? You know, what's that one bit of advice that you think is going to be the most valuable to somebody who's trying to make the decision about coming down and hanging out with the guys for a Diz Dads Club convention? And you know, not just, I don't want to hear from everybody, oh, just do it, right? Give people some practical suggestions. How do they make this happen? And Adam, I'll let you get started with this. How does somebody make this happen who hasn't done it before?
Plan today to be there next year. I know we've already riled Carl up because we've already started really digging into deep planning for next year. And he's laid out his, this is what your plan, this is what planning is supposed to look like for the DDC. But if I didn't already plan to be there next year, I couldn't make it happen. And if you plan now, you can squirrel away a little money. You can squirrel away some Disney gift cards. There's lots of ways to figure out how to make it happen if you start looking at it now rather than trying to scramble and figure it out in December. You know, most of us can't just pop up and go, oh, well, I can drop $1,000 and do something at the drop of a hat. Most of us have to plan that out. But if you plan now and start talking to folks, and some of, like I said, some of us are already deep into planning for next year already. Get with some of the guys that you know are going to be there. Joe, myself, Terry, there's a few others that have already committed that they're going to be there next year, barring, you know, major tragedy.
Sure.
Get with us and let's figure it out. Let's make it happen. And that way, that's my only advice, is plan it now. Don't wait.
Okay. So an impassioned plea from Joe to plan early. What do you think, David, what do you think for somebody who, you know, made it for the first time? What's the best bit of advice you could give to somebody who was thinking about following that example?
Well, I think there was a guy asking, I don't know if it was beforehand or during, it's like, how do you get away with it with your family? And I think it's one where you just sort of, you know, work it out with your family, talk about what's going on. You know, we were lucky that, you know, the rest of my family got to go on trips as well. So it wasn't just Dad making one trip by himself. And again, the kids are 20 and 21. So, I mean, they're older kids, so they can get down there. You know, they can be down there on their own as well.
Sure.
So I think that was one of the things. Don't, you know, make sure that everyone gets the opportunity to have one of these trips to Disney in your family. So it makes it a little bit easier for Dad then to get away. And then the other side is, or bring them, as a lot of folks did. You know, it might be something that if I'm able to come next year, that, you know, bring my wife as well, you know, come on down and, you know, and partake of all of this stuff. So
sure.
It's one where it's not just dads. It can be family or, you know, however it works out.
Sure. And let's see, so far, I think the only one we haven't heard from yet is Adam.
No, you mixed me and Joe up.
Oh,
I was Adam first. Started.
Oops.
It's okay.
Okay. Well, so
that would be the Canadian.
So
my
yeah, Terry, you go.
All right.
It's late.
It is late. I'm exhausted.
I'll make this quick. Guys, come on out. I know it's hard. It's kind of weird meeting guys that you only know over the internet, and don't be intimidated by us. You know, the fact that some of us know each other really well, some of us too well, you know, don't be intimidated by that. We're a welcoming family. And we understand, you know, come on out, put yourself out there, come out and see us. We're a great bunch. I know, I had doubts after the after my first meeting with everybody there. I'm like, wow, okay, these guys all, you know, being Canadian, these guys already have something all in common. And that, and I felt kind of an outsider on that. I don't feel that way anymore at all, you know? So even if you were there and you weren't able to maybe interact as much as you wanted to, come out to the next one. Guarantee you, we're a fun group and we'd love to get to know you better.
All right. Well, you know, that's all great advice. I was really bummed that I missed this one. It's the first His Dad's Club convention I wasn't able to make. And I will be doing my darndest to get back out there come January of, gosh, it's really going to be January 2019?
Yes.
Wow. And just so we're clear, as we're wrapping up, what are the dates?
I believe it's the 9th through the 13th now.
Okay, so next year should be, if things work like we expect them to, then we should be back to, you know, the more comfortable crowd levels for that weekend that we experienced the first couple of Diz Dad's Club conventions, right?
So let me kind of touch a little closer on that. The 9th being, I think, the Wednesday, the 13th being the Sunday. 9th. 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. Yeah. So covering the 5 days, that's really the activities of Run Disney's Marathon Weekend. Like Adam said, you know, Terry, there's several of us that'll come either early or stay late and extend the DDC itself. But that's our choice. It's not necessarily your choice. It's not your requirement. Your engagement level with the dads at the convention is up to you, right? You don't have to come to every little event. You can come as little as you want, right? We just ask that you be there for the picnic because we really want to meet you and your family if you bring them.
Sure.
And just to kind of, while we're talking about next year, go back to something that Terry said. The attractions are not just Disney anymore. The attractions are us. And I promise you, if you make it next year, we are going to make that come true. We already are making plans to make that come true. And yeah. I'm going to leave it with that. A little teaser.
Now we've always we saw the pictures, Adam. We know you're a little teaser. All right. So anyway, thanks a lot, guys, for coming on and sharing the you know, the solo traveler's perspective on Diz Dad's Club Convention. As we close the book on Diz Dad's Club Convention 2018 and look ahead to 2019, you know, come check out the closed Facebook group. If you need access to it, send a message to somebody and they'll get you hooked up. You know, we keep it closed because it allows the conversation there to touch on things that people aren't necessarily comfortable posting publicly, like their travel plans. But in any case, thanks so much, guys, for coming on and sharing. And hopefully it just will help the Diz Dad's Club Convention gang and the event itself continue to grow with each year.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Aaron.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.